Kyle Hedlund has served as the executive director of Grand Village for the last 4 years. He has actively advocated for the at the Minnesota Legislature for the interest of those living in long-term care centers. He was recently appointed to the Rural Health Advisory Committee by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. That committee advises the Minnesota Commissioner of Health and other state agencies on rural health issues. Kyle, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you. It's a great honor and to be able to bring a rural voice down to the metro area and make sure that we're advocating for our needs and for rural health care.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all you're doing for the elders in our community and our most vulnerable. How are things at Grand Village right now?
We're doing okay. You know, it's been a difficult challenge. Starting in early March, we completely changed the way that we operate and to put in precautions to protect our residents and patients at the facility, the community there. So it's been a challenging times for sure, but our team has really rise to the occasion and has stepped up and done an amazing job of kind of rolling with the everyday changes that come. And you know, we're following CDC and MDH guidelines and on conference calls with them daily as updates come through and making changes based on that. So, you know, it's been amazing to see how well our team has adapted to this new environment.
So, Kyle,
and you know, doing things to try to make sure that our residents still have contact with their families, with virtual visits, and you know, doing anything we can to make sure that they still have that socialization, even though they can't do it in person.
So, Kyle, you keep talking about change, drastic change. Can you give us just an idea what maybe some changes might have been?
Sure. So, we in the first week of March, we stopped allowing any visitors into the building except for end-of-life compassionate care, and even then it's only immediate family. You know, we used to have our vendors would come in. For example, our food vendor would come in and actually stock our fridge and freezer and our shelves for us. Well, we stop them at the door now, and we stock everything, you know, so we don't have any vendors coming into the building unless it's an emergency. And we screen all of our team members as they enter the building. We're screening them, temping them, asking them all of the signs and symptoms questions, if they've come in contact with any known COVID-positive people or even suspected. You know, we're monitoring and tracking everybody's movements. And people that they've cared for, in the event that there is somebody that tests positive, we can contact trace within our building. We're screening our residents and patients 3 times a day. We're monitoring their vitals. We cleared out an entire wing of the building in preparation. If we do have any suspected or positive cases, we can isolate them immediately to try to mitigate any kind of spread within our community. You know, those are just some examples. There's so many more that I can't think of right off the top of my head.
No, that's good. That's good.
So
yeah.
What if someone did have an elevated temperature or they knew they had been around someone? What would be the action you would take?
So if we had an elevated temperature or any other signs and symptoms of COVID, we move them into an isolation wing. And in that wing, we have additional stepped-up protocols, and we would dedicate employees to that wing so that then they wouldn't be working elsewhere in the building. And then we work on getting them tested as soon as possible so that we can at least isolate them while we're waiting for the test results to come back, and that can typically take between sometimes we've got them back as quickly as 12 hours. Sometimes it's 48 hours. It just kind of depends on when you catch the courier going down to the testing site. So, and then we put them in contact precautions and treat them like they had COVID-19 and take all the necessary protocols until we know if they've had a positive or not.
It's Kyle Hedlund. He's executive director at Grand Village. We're talking about how they're keeping their residents and staff safe. So how are you keeping the spirits of your staff going? This has got to be incredibly tough for them.
Yes, it's challenging. And it's, you know, it's as it drags on and you know, it's going to be a long battle trying to do things just to keep the spirits up. Food when we can do it. We've had some people donate food, which has been great. Or we'll do little snacks here and there, or try to do little celebrations that you can. But individually, you know, we can't do, we used to have like a nice big group activities. Well, we don't do group activities anymore with either the residents or our team members. You know, everything's got to be individually based. So there's a lot of one-on-one activities going on with the residents. We went to another thing I didn't mention earlier. We went to in-room dining, so we're not doing congregated dining anymore. And so they're all individual dining in their rooms. But sometimes, you know, there's things you can do to try to keep that socialization up. So we'll play bingo, where the residents will sit at their doorway of each of their rooms. And we can play bingo down the hallway versus having everybody in one big room. Or celebrations with our team members. For example, it's nursing home week. So yesterday we had a pie, I don't want to call it a pie social because that's what we used to call it. But so we had all the, instead of the pies out in the open and everybody congregating, we individually wrapped pieces of pie and gave them to our team members and the residents. Hmm. So that we could still try to celebrate but still do it appropriately with physical distancing in the building.
So Kyle, you being the boss, what happens if one of your workers says, I can't come in today, or I don't want to come in today?
There's a whole number of steps that we take. Do you mean if they're just tired, or?
No, I just wonder how you deal with them. I mean,
if they're kind of afraid because of what's going on?
You hear some people say they have the right to just not come to work. And in your situation, that's probably terrible, as in any situation. I'm just wondering if someone calls you up and says, Kyle, I just can't come in today or the next couple of days.
Yeah, you know, so we're very essential employees, and all of our employees and our team members are essential. So we try to really focus on that, you know, this is a great time of need for our community, and that they are essential, but also trying to be sensitive to the fact that people are scared, and just educating them on the virus and on, you know, the proper protocols that we take with our personal protective equipment and our increased infection control audits and, you know, proper hand washing and hand sanitization with hand sanitizer and wearing your mask and wearing your eye protection and you know, taking all those protocols, and if you follow them to a T, you know, you're pretty safe. But also understanding that a lot of our team members need breaks, so really trying to give people a day off here and there to rest and to take a break.
So we've talked about the residents, we've talked about the staff. Now let's talk about you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's you know, it's a huge challenge, but it's also, you know, it's needed right now for our community, and we need to stay vigilant. So I'm trying to, when I can, take a few hours off here and there to, you know, work on projects around the house that can take my mind off of it for a little bit. But you know, I'm available to our team 24/7. So if they need me, I'm there. But it's you know, it's very uplifting seeing the creativity of our team members to continue to bring joy to our residents and our patients, and how creative they can get with still following infection control protocols and physical distancing and, you know, and everything that we need to do. It's really amazing the ideas that people come up with and things that we can try. So that's been really fun to see.
So Grand Village has been there a long time, 120 years, is that right?
Yeah, over 120 years.
So I was trying to think about this. I've had three relatives that have spent time there. And I remember the first time I went, it was a great uncle when I was probably a teenager or something. And I was just amazed. I'd been in other nursing homes and they were a little scary. And the setting that you have there is very calming. Nature is a big part of even just coming in through the windows. And it's just a nice environment there.
It is. It's a beautiful facility. And like you said, a lot of windows, and we're surrounded by over 100 acres of forest, and we're right on the Hale Lake there. So, yeah, the setting is really serene and peaceful. And even in the building, the county has done a great job. I'm obviously a little biased, but I think it's one of the best county facilities in the Midwest. And, Itasca County has done such a good job of keeping up with the times and maintaining the building making changes to the building to make it a more like a home-like environment. And it's a really calm, peaceful feeling when you come in the building. And that's what we hear from a lot of people is, this doesn't feel like a normal nursing home or other ones that I've been in. It's just so calm and people are happy. And, it's just a good feeling when you walk in that door.
Part of the reason I wanted to talk to you today, Kyle, is that sometimes, I'm sure you're hearing it too, it's just sometimes the things we're seeing on social media or hearing in the media, people are pretty callous about who's getting COVID or who is dying because they think of it as, well, they're in a nursing home already, and they probably were going to die anyway. How do you handle that kind of stuff? It just breaks my heart when I hear that.
Well, after the anger subsides, that somebody could be so callous, really just trying to focus on the fact that there's just a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of opinions that people are sharing, and it's not really based in fact. And so trying to help educate people and just trying to help people understand that, it's not about you, it's about, us as a community. And I get frustrated when I see memes like, wearing a mask is like putting up a chain link fence to keep mosquitoes out of your yard. Well, that's not the point of wearing cloth masks. The cloth mask that we're wearing in public isn't to protect you, it's to protect other people. So, by wearing that, you're doing something good for somebody else. And it's what we call, those cloth masks are source control masks. So if you have COVID-19 and you're asymptomatic, which is a large portion of the people that do have it, don't show any signs or symptoms, but they're spreading it. So by wearing a mask, even if you feel healthy, if you have COVID-19, you're going to minimize that spread. So if you think about it, if you sneeze or cough, or even when you're talking with a cloth mask on, you no longer is your droplets going to go 6-7 feet out. It at least is going to remain within your vicinity. So you're protecting other people by wearing that cloth mask. And so just really trying to help educate people on the importance of taking these protocols, and that it's really to help slow the spread of the virus, which ultimately helps protect our employees when they're going to the grocery store, when they're going out to the gas station to get gas. It's to help protect them so that they are less likely then to bring it into our building. That, I think, is the message that we really need to get out there.
You mentioned earlier about using technology so people can visit with their families. Do you have enough equipment like that? Do you have enough protective equipment for your staff?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good with our personal protective equipment. We have... even before the pandemic started, we had gone to a kind of a central supply person, and she's done an amazing job of procuring personal protective equipment and making sure that we're monitoring our level. So we're doing good on personal protective equipment, but, we've really had to ramp up. We didn't have a lot of iPads for our life enrichment team to do virtual visits, and even we've had to switch to do virtual visits for some regular clinic appointments, or when a physician needs to see a resident, if it's non-emergent or non-critical, they're doing those virtually. So we've had to purchase a lot of iPads and and get a lot of software installed, and you know that's been a major change to our operation. But so we're doing, we have a really cool thing where we set up an online scheduling system for families and friends to schedule virtual visits with their loved ones. So if you go to our website, ecumengrand.org, and under Contact Us, there's a community connection area there. And you can schedule just online on our website a time to have a virtual visit with your loved one or your friend that's in the facility. And then our team will go set up an iPad and get it all logged in so that you can do a virtual visit at the time that you registered for.
That's
so there's some really neat things that, that the team is doing to keep that that connection with families and friends.
So speaking of supplies, so what's your mask situation? What kind do you use, and how often do you have to change them or discard them?
Yeah, so we have, you know, as soon as our team members come in the building, we have a station set up at the front door. And, you know, that's a precaution we took early on in early March, is we locked all, you know, all of the doors you can't enter in from the outside. And it, everybody comes through one main entrance, and that's where we do all the screening, and there's a mask station there for masks. So we have cloth masks, which are source control masks. They don't protect you as a caregiver, but they protect you from spread, or they protect, minimize the amount of spread if you were an asymptomatic person. So all of our team members are wearing cloth masks all day when they're in the building. We have them wearing eye protection when they're doing cares, just as an additional precaution. And then if we have anybody that needs to be put on isolation, then they're going to switch to a surgical mask, which protects them and the resident or the patient as well. And then the PPE, as far as they might be wearing, eye goggles or face shields, gowns, depending on what type of isolation precaution somebody's in. And then the time that you actually need an N95 mask, which you hear a lot of people talking about the N95, is when there's like an aerosolized procedure going on and somebody is COVID positive, which we don't have any COVID positive residents or patients at the moment. And so using an N95 would be if somebody's like on a nebulizer treatment or a few other different procedures, which we typically don't do in a skilled nursing facility. So, but okay, we do have those on hand as well.
So you wouldn't want to waste them right now when you might need
right
them in the future.
Yep, yeah. Yep, you save that. And so, you know, we're following a lot of conservation strategies that the CDC put out for trying to conserve PPE as much as possible because of the worldwide shortage. But, you know, we're doing okay at the moment.
Kyle Hedlund, he's executive director at Grand Village. Hey, we know your time is precious. Thank you for talking with us today.
Anytime.
All right.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Kyle.